Chapter 61. Aftermath. The multitude throng thee and press thee. Luke. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. Jeremiah. June 14, 1888. Mrs. Eddy had been totally unprepared to speak to the surprisingly large audience at Central Music Hall, but no one was prepared for that which transpired when she finished. A newspaper account reads, "The scenes that followed when she had ceased speaking will long be remembered by those who witnessed them. The people were in the presence of the woman whose book had healed them, and they knew it. Up they came in crowds to her side, begging for one hand clasp, one look, one memorial from her, whose name was a power and a sacred thing in their homes. Those whom she had never seen before, invalids raised up by her book, Science and Health, attempted to hurriedly tell the wonderful story. A mother who failed to get near her held high her babe to look on their helper. Others touched the dress of their benefactor, not so much as asking for more. An aged woman trembling with palsy lifted her shaking hands at Mrs. Eddy's feet, crying, "Help, help," and the cry was answered. Many such people were known to go away healed. Strong men turned aside to hide their tears as the people thronged about Mrs. Eddy with blessings and thanks. Meekly and almost silently, she received all this homage from the multitude, until she was led away from the place, the throng blocking her passage from the door to the carriage. A reception at the Palmer House, where Mrs. Eddy was staying, had been planned for the evening. As the hour approached, the parlors, corridors, and stairways were crowded with the wealthy and fashionable, alongside the humblest working men. When Mrs. Eddy came from her private suite to the drawing room, the situation was almost a repetition of the morning scene. Some who were present were aware that Mary Plunkett quickly got in line to shake the leader's hand, that her students might construe this as an endorsement. As the line moved forward, Mrs. Eddy suddenly wheeled about, ignoring Mrs. Plunkett completely, passing her by to shake hands with the next person. The multitude thronged her, so she greeted her followers for only a short time. Calvin Fry, and most likely Dr. Foster and Captain Eastman, came to her rescue and helped her to withdraw by a side door. The newspapers hailed her public appearances as a great triumph, but Mrs. Eddy said to those nearest her that this was not the way to further Christian Science. There was no criticism of the affair, however, in her article to loyal Christian Scientists in the July Journal. There was praise for the National Association, and much that pointed to the treachery in the College Association in Boston. Pen can never portray the satisfaction that you afforded me at the grand meeting in Chicago of the National Christian Scientist Association. The reception in the spacious rooms of the Palmer House was, like all else, purely Western in its cordiality and largeness. In Christian Science, the midnight hour will always be the bridal hour, until, quote, no night is there, end quote. Out of the gloom comes the glory of our Lord, and His divine love is seen in affliction. When a false sense suffers, the truer sense comes out, and the bridegroom appears. We are then wedded to a purer, higher affection and ideal. I would that all my students had their lamps trimmed and burning at the noon of night, that not one of them was borrowing oil and seeking light from matter instead of spirit, or at work erroneously, thus shutting out spiritual light. Error giveth no light, and it closes the door on truth. Falsehood is on the wings of the winds. Error is walking to and fro in the earth, trying to be heard above truth. Whosoever proclaims truth loudest becomes the mark for error's shaft. The archer's aim at truth's mouthpiece. The stake and scaffold have never silenced the messages of the Most High. Then can the present mode of attempting this, namely, by slanderous falsehoods and a secret mind method through which to effect the purposes of envy and malice, silence truth? Never. No evidence before the material senses can close my eyes to the scientific proof that God, good, is supreme. Though clouds are round about Him, the divine justice and judgment are enthroned. Love is especially near in times of hate, and never so near as when one can be just amid lawlessness and render good for evil. Error will hate more as it realizes more the presence of its tormentor. I shall fulfill my mission, fight the good fight, and keep the faith. There is great joy in this consciousness, that throughout my labors and in my history as connected with the cause of Christian Science, it can be proven that I have never given occasion for a single censure when my motives and acts are understood and seen as my Father seeth them. Those only who are tried in the furnace reflect the image of their Father. For 2 years, I have been gradually withdrawing from active membership in the Christian Scientist Association. This has developed higher energies on the part of true followers and led to some startling departures, on the other hand. Quote, offenses must come, but woe to him through whom they come. End quote. Mrs. Eddy's yearning for unity had brought much error to the surface, error which was still foaming and frothing in the CSA back in Boston. She had called for unity in the National Association, and to material sense, that call was answered. But material sense makes no progress. All progress is spiritual. And the leader was alone, meeting the demands of the hour. Little did the students understand her words about the midnight hour and being tried in the furnace. The leader alone met the trials and demands and pioneered the way of spiritual the only true progress. While her students were rejoicing in the false sense of triumph. All Chicago was hailing this triumph, unaware of the real issue. At a later date, Mrs. Eddy said to a student, Miss Robertson, "Do you know when I had most evil in my life to meet? It was when I spoke in Chicago on science and the senses. The newspapers said it was a triumph for the cause. For me, it was a trial and tribulation. I and I alone had to carry the whole burden. All the Christian scientists were happy, but I fought with animal magnetism all night after that talk." One spiritually sensitive student had a glimpse of the import of Mrs. Eddy's trial and triumph on the night of June 14th. Janet Coleman had a vision just before retiring. She wrote in her reminiscences, "That night, as I was getting into bed, had not laid down, when at the foot of the bed, I saw Jesus' form rise up in white. Then our leader in white rose up beside him. She put out her arms and embraced him. He melted into her. Then she rose up beyond my gaze." After telling Mrs. Eddy, she told me not to speak of it to anyone, not even to her students. It was too far beyond the age at that time. When Christ in Christmas came out, the picture Christian Unity expressed more what I saw at Chicago. God has been so good to me to let me see our leader in her right light. Though the age was not prepared for it, June 14, 1888, saw the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah, quote, "The Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man," end quote.